2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome in, everybody. It's another edition of Unrivaled right here with you on 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery here, Scott Mitchell there. Got your headphones plugged in there?
Huh? Can't hear you. Don't have my headphones plugged in.
Hanson, Scotty, seats are still warm.
Ooh. Yeah.
That always feels good.
A little too warm.
You know, I always love a cold toilet seat because then you know. It's been minutes since somebody sat on this thing.
Yeah, you know, it's
the warm toilet seat. Some people might find comfort in that. I do not.
Yeah, and sometimes when there's like a little bit of like, I don't know, water on the toilet seat, and once you've committed,
I've got six kids. Four of them are boys. There's never not a bad situation.
Never not water on the toilet.
Oh my goodness,
it is just water.
Every time there's a family meeting, 90% of the family meetings have to deal with that very subject. Now, girls, I'm not talking to you. So, boys, can I talk to you for a second? Sure. Dad's got a moment we've got to spend here.
You only have, well, I guess your wife.
Here's the thing. I am absolutely just trying to – tread water here. I'm trying to talk about anything except for the thing that I know we have to talk about. So we're going to start the show off with Scott being super grumpy and me being right there with him. It's some Utah Jazz talk, shudder, as we get going with the cut here. Yeah. So let's get going.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Do you snore at night? You're currently using a CPAP machine to treat that sleep apnea? Sound Sleep Medical can improve your life. SoundSleepMedical.com is the website. Boy, Scott, you almost – last night was one of those nights you almost turned the CPAP machine off and just say, Lord, take me.
just breathe off into oblivion. Just let me go.
Because, listen, I don't think that it could have been – the Jazz losing to the Rockets last night was – maybe the worst feeling – oh, you're still doing the breathing exercises. Maybe the worst feeling of it that I think Jazz fans have had, certainly since that Clippers series, when you felt like the team was helpless with Terrence Mann doing his thing. You know, remember that whole feeling?
Right.
The feelings that were there were actually worse last night because – it felt just as helpless. It felt just as bad. And even more so because you're not playing a playoff team. You're playing – and maybe I shouldn't be that worried about it. Maybe the grumpiness level, Scott, needs to match where they are in the season. They're only 45 games into the season. You know, Locke after the game in his postcast with Booner, I'm listening to this so that I can take a little bit of heart and medicine off of this thing, and I didn't get it. because what they just kept talking about was maybe it's time Quinn Snyder goes after this team a little bit and gets after it. Maybe it's time for some tough love. And I thought, oh, no. If you're talking about actually having to be hard on the team right now and they're not self-motivated or whatever they need to tell themselves to not lose to one of the worst teams that we've seen come into Vivint Smart Home Arena, get a win over the Jazz, it's one thing to lose to the Detroit Pistons on the road. It's another to lose last night to the Houston Rockets, a team who probably came in thinking, we know how this thing's going to go. We'll keep it close for a minute, and then we're gonna hit the snooze button in the second half, and we'll see you after a double-digit loss. And the Jazz lose in just an embarrassing fashion, and my teenage son put it best. Boy, it kind of sucks to be a Jazz fan right now. Not kind of. It's not good to be a Jazz fan. It's not fun to be a Jazz fan. And it does not feel like it's something that is actually fixable.
Do you want the silver lining or do you want the Band-Aid ripped
off? Hold on.
Which one would you like first?
I'm surprised there's a silver lining from Scott Mitchell today, so I'd love to hear it.
Of course there's a silver lining.
You're the positive guy usually, but you had nothing before the show.
Well, no, I'm not giving you the silver lining. I'll wait for that. I got something to say.
Let me hear it.
I really was dreading coming on the radio today and having to talk about this. And the Jazz are clearly in a funk, and they clearly are out of sync. And you watch the game, and you watch this team. It's almost like they're running around, and they're a half a step slow. They're a half a step behind. It's like they're about two and a half second delay from what's happening right now in reality. It seems they're always chasing everything. There's no anticipation. Great defense is all about anticipation. And everything with the Jazz now is a reaction. It's a reaction late, and it's also a. I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to do or where I'm supposed to go. So it's either a lack of, they haven't been coached up right, or it's a lack of. I mean, and Quinn Snyder said after the game, he goes, "This is just really bad lapses on defense." So it's possibly. Some guys just not knowing, not preparing, not maybe expecting, like, hey, I'm a guy that doesn't play a whole lot, you know, and I'm happy kind of being in that backup role, and all of a sudden they're thrust out into the spotlight and they have to perform, and they're not ready to do it, because this Jazz team is just not really in a lot of sync. If you looked when they had the starters on the floor, it felt like, okay, this is a pretty decent team here. You know, when Connolly and Gobert.
You're short Donovan Mitchell, but all we heard before the game was is that, well, they do fine as long as Rudy Gobert's in the game.
And they felt like that for the most part. Now, Gobert and people going after Gobert, like under the basket last night, that was like, I didn't understand that at all.
I could not wrap my head around it.
No, you're just like, it was strange. It was just something I don't think you normally see.
And Rudy said something too after the game. He's like, I let my teammates down in a lot of instances. And I thought,
that's unacceptable. It's unacceptable because Rudy's a guy that's put himself out there. If you're going to call everybody out, then you have to show up. And a lot of guys do that. A lot of guys will publicly speak out so that they ensure that they're gonna rise to that moment. You get a guy like Tom Brady and some of these guys that just put, you know, they go, this is unacceptable, this will not happen, and I won't let it happen. And so Gobert, that's a massive disappointment because it's not putting your money where your mouth is at all, and it's an embarrassment. But you get past the first unit here, you've got Rudy Gay out, you've got Hassan Whiteside out, you've got Donovan Mitchell out. And so now you've got three guys, you know, really, you got two guys that are kind of in that second rotation for the Jazz, and even Donovan Mitchell, because, you know, their rotations, they kind of mix that up. You know, there's your first eight guys. You're missing three of your first eight guys. Then all these new guys coming in clearly are not in sync and not on the same page and probably haven't had a lot of time to kind of get on that page, whether it's practice or whatever. Or even experience wise, and that's what you start to see with this team. Should people panic today? Yeah, they should.
See, we were kind of don't panic thing the other day, right?
Well, you got well, Danny, go you got from... Danny Ainge on the sideline. Right?
I love that everybody's like, oh, the Jazz are 9-9 since Danny Ainge took over. Danny Ainge is doing anything?
It's not Danny
right
Ainge.
Of course not.
It's what Danny Ainge represents, and Danny Ainge. I mean, and it's what the ownership represents. They said, we're here to get this thing right. You don't bring Danny Ainge in. You don't. you don't surround yourself with people like
Justin Zanuck and Quinn Snyder
and the whole group, you know, and so you just don't do it unless you're really serious about, hey, we want championships here. You know, we just do. And so
how do you think Ryan Smith and Dwayne Wade are feeling right now?
Well, Dwayne Wade's one of the guys you bring in to say, look, you know, this is a guy that's won championships. This is a guy that understands this process. And you either as a player go, you know what? Awesome. Man, that gives me hope, and they play better. Or the players go, you know what? Maybe I'm not living up to it. And so they start pushing, because that's what it felt like. A lot of guys pressing and doing too much. I mean, you mentioned Royce O'Neal in our show prep about, like, that was the worst air ball three-point attempt I think I've ever – I mean, it looked like someone who's never shot a three-pointer in the NBA before.
It was one of those things where I actually was like, oh, my gosh. And then immediately – It was one of those moments where I closed my eyes, and you know, your head tilts up to the heavens and your eyes are closed, and you went, what are we doing? What are we watching here? What am I spending my life doing, acting like that this Jazz team is going to be anywhere near a Western Conference Finals? Now, can things turn around? I mean, I guess. I don't at some point it feels like it's much more to fix than just, you know, a couple of games here and there without having your stars in COVID. I don't know. Maybe we're not far enough removed from the COVID situation for me to really go, hey, there's a problem here.
Let me give you some insight.
Is it only, let me just give you the silver lining part?
No.
Okay.
We're not there yet.
The only reason I came to work today was for the Scott Mitchell silver lining.
I didn't think I'd have it today.
The trademark
I actually did not think it would
you
show up.
You said you have it, though.
I know,
it's
I do.
It's in the back pocket?
It hit me as we sat down here. Yes, there is a silver lining in all this.
All right.
This is not the silver lining. This is actually part of the solution. This I know for sure. Like, this is an absolute in life that I know with 100% assurity, and I bring it up all the time on our show in certain examples. Exactly what you think is exactly what's going to happen. And so when you watch this team.
What are you, Oprah? Is this the secret? If you think that parking spot next to the building is going to be there, it's going to be
there. It's a real thing. I'm just this isn't some hokey, you know, crazy out there thing.
All right.
Okay. And your performance is specifically impacted by how you think about things. And when you have a player, let's just take Royce O'Neal. Royce O'Neal, when he shot that three-pointer, he was not thinking about it going in. He was not thinking about – he was like, oh, man, shoot, I'm open. I got to shoot. I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go. I guarantee you that's what was going through his mind. He was not like, yep, got the ball, I'm wide open, I'm going to drain it. And this team, for whatever reason, is looking over its shoulder. It's not in sync. It's not playing right. And so this whole thing about Danny Ainge is a real thing, because all these players know the trade deadline's coming. Jordan Clarkson came here from Cleveland out of the blue. The Jazz are looking. Like, they know this is not okay. They know this team has to be better. And Danny Ainge goes, look, I've won championships. I've been with the Celtics. I know Dwayne Wade. Look, here's what's going on here. And probably in concert with Quinn Snyder, with Justin Zanuck, the whole crew. And they go, how do we get better? What do we need? And I guarantee you the players are aware of it. So it's either, I don't understand what I'm doing. I'm not really prepared. I'm worried about whatever's going to happen down the road, like I might get traded. All those are negative things. Like, they're just negative. And you can just see the energy. And then all of a sudden, Rudy Gobert starts to spout off. Donovan Mitchell starts to spout off. And there's something going on. And it's clearly how this team is thinking about itself right now. Because they know that they're capable of being so much better as a basketball team. But the way they're thinking about themselves is like they're a lottery team. Like they can't win. And I'm just telling you, it is so much about a mindset, and I talk about this all the time, and you can just see it. It's just oozing out of the Utah Jazz. Their minds are so in the wrong place right now, and it's a matter of them just flipping a switch and thinking about things in a different perspective.
Let's look real quick at where this at where things ended up last night. Rudy Gobert had 23 points, pretty low 9 rebounds. Bojan Bogdanovic had 29 points, fine. Mike Conley, 17, fine. Jordan Clarkson, 19, fine. These are all things that you kind of would expect. Royce O'Neal with 3 points. I know that the 15 rebounds everybody looked at and went, boy, he was really working the boards last night. But his Twitter handle is Buckets O'Neal. I would prefer the bucket part of that, right? And I think that a lot of people looked at that box score and went, hold on a minute. It's not just that. It's one thing to have, you know, 5 guys in double figures for the Rockets. Garrison Matthews shows up and has 23 points last night. Garrison Matthews, of course, the pride of the Lipscomb University Bisons. You know him, Scott. You know him as Lipscomb's career point scorer. You already know that about Garrison Matthews. What I'm saying is the guy got signed to his first actual contract in the NBA that wasn't a 10-day contract a month ago. Okay? That's the guy scoring 23 points on the Jazz. When they lost to the Detroit Pistons back in Detroit, fill in the blank. If it's a Terrence Mann for the Clippers, it's always somebody who, well, they usually don't score that many points. Garrison Matthews usually doesn't score that many points. Well, against a Jazz team that's supposed to be, quote-unquote, one of the best defensive teams in the league, my heavens, you don't have those. So how are these nights happening? Is it because there's not a mental toughness? Is it because there's not – you said there was a silver lining. Did you get to it at some point?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't got to it yet. But you're –
now's a good time to roll it out, because now that we're 15 minutes into the show, I'm starting to hit a boiling point.
Right. But
now that we're talking about it, I'm like, I cannot believe – because when I watched it last night, I couldn't believe how bad that third quarter was when they scored 19 points.
When you talk about these players and you go, who are they, right? And they just signed their new NBA contract,
right.
Terrence Mann, whomever you're talking about. You know what they thought about? Nothing. They're like, awesome, I got this awesome opportunity. I'm just going to go for it. What do I have to lose? And the Jazz are playing so uptight and so out of sync and out of sorts. And they're thinking about everything that's absolutely negative in the world. And really, the solution, I know this. I know without a doubt it's so much in their mind about you've got to focus on the correct and positive outcome. That's just I know it sounds so simple, but I'm telling you, the way you think has a physiological impact to your performance. No question about it. So you have bad thoughts, guess what? Bad things are going to happen, and you're going to be absolutely right. So here's the silver lining.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. There's only one thing I believe is great about losing, and that is that it makes you realize, I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be like this, and it is an absolute great motivator.
What is it?
When you lose, just, you know, this sucks. I hate this feeling. I hate feeling like this, and I want to do everything within my power to make sure
losing.
It doesn't happen. That's part of the silver
okay.
lining. But here's the silver lining.
All right.
The only way to really appreciate a championship and to appreciate succeeding is having had moments like this. If you can't have those low moments, and every team you'll hear about that wins championships, they go, man, we just remember back to a point in the season when everything seemed like it at its bleakest. Like, and we just thought, oh, there's no chance, there's no shot. And we somehow found a way to overcome that really challenging, that really difficult, that really hard time. And that's where championship teams, that's where teams that succeed, they go, it's not that you fail. Everyone fails. Everyone loses. Every good team loses. Every great player loses. Every great player misses shots, misses game-winning shots. Everyone does. But it's the one that just says, I'm not going to let that define me. I'm going to fight through this. I'm going to find more determination. And when I do, I'm going to have a greater appreciation for when I have success. And so that's the silver lining, is that as ugly as this is, it's the ability to be able to turn it around, because you can, and you can become an active participant in the in the turnaround, in the right direction. And it's all up to you and how you choose to do this. But when you do turn it around, you appreciate it so much more because you went through this struggle, because you went through this tough, this difficult time. That's really the silver line.
So I was what's great is that the Jazz aren't in LA. They're not a Los Angeles team. You know, we wish sometimes that you got the big market attention. If this kind of thing happens in big markets, let
so
me
you
tell
think
you right
this
now.
Happened like the in the forest?
Well, I read a no. I'm
wherever a tree falls in the forest, no one knows.
If you're in Utah and your team is it falls,
they lose.
Does anybody hear it? And the answer is not totally. Yeah. I mean, nobody's as freaked out about the Jazz woes right now than this locker room and this market, right?
Yeah,
we're freaking out about it because you're going, I thought this was supposed to be the good team. I thought this was a better version of the team. I thought this was supposed to be another year where they're fighting for a championship. When is that going to happen? But the interesting thing is I go online today and I see the Lakers are broken. How do we fix them? Our experts weigh in. And I went, oh, shoot. The team that's quote-unquote broken were the ones that beat their last win was against the Jazz
the broken
on Sunday.
Team actually beat the Jazz.
The broken team beat the Jazz on Sunday.
It's like the broken team has a massive discussion, and you're so beyond broke, it's not even worth talking about.
Up.
It's
you
like it's just
up.
Not even talking.
No,
so why are we talking
about
this?
I get it because the Jazz are still, you know, pretty far ahead of the Lakers when it comes to the Western Conference standings, right? But I mean, at some point, you look at the record and you go,
you know what? That's really a good thought. Hey, Jazz fans. Look, as bad as it is, at least we're not the Lakers.
Hey, you're still...
At least we're not the Lakers.
You're still, six and a half games ahead of the Lakers in the West.
Not the Lakers.
That's a good feeling. All right? So there's the silver lining, Scott.
You don't live in Cleveland.
Thanks, Sam Weiss. Oh, my goodness.
That's a new battle cry. You don't live in L.A.
Garrison Matthews had 23 points last night.
Who?
Hey, Mr. Garrison. I mean, I am just absolutely, when I'm watching it, I'm going, I'm literally looking up Garrison Matthews last night going, what is going on here?
It kind of seems like in all the losses to these really bad teams, though, that they just have this, like,
there's always somebody.
It's just insane night. There's just this crazy, like, anomaly. It's just like.
It must be all the amazing defense the Jazz are playing, though, right?
Yeah, so it's like, is it
Terrence Mann has 39 points in the playoffs and basically jump-started his entire career based off of that night.
So is it bad defense, or is it just like we just have a guy just played out of his rear end?
You know, playing out of your rear end. I wish he would have played out of his rear end because then you probably would have seen a worse performance. I think the term is playing out of your mind.
I've heard it said a different way.
Oh. Just shooting those three-pointers out of the old tush there, buddy. My goodness. I don't know what to think. At this point, there's no game because they've already lost to the, you know, to the Pacers twice, to the Magic, to the Pistons, to the Rockets. They've lost to all in their last seven games. Three of those losses have come to the three worst teams in the NBA. So there's no game where you can look and go, they got it, they got this. We had one last chance. It was last night.
I don't think that's all bad.
Hold on, our producer Jeremy's a Rockets fan.
I don't think it's bad.
Remember when we were walking out of the building?
I don't think it's bad in the sense that, look, you just need to show up every night. You just need to create those habits of winning every single night, and you can't take anybody lightly. I don't see that's a bad lesson to learn if you're a basketball team. Now, whether the Jazz are willing to do it, I don't know.
That every night you can't take for granted.
No.
Even against it. Now, last year you could have walked in on a bunch of teams and just beat them. But, I mean, Tim Lacombe always says this. Tim's going to come on with us at about 5 o'clock today. But he always says, man, this team or this league, everybody's pretty dang good. Locks is the same thing. I mean, you've said it about the NFL where it's like every night there's a reason that these guys are as good as they are. But there are teams like the Rockets where they actually don't intend to be that good right now. they're not trying to be amazing. I'll tell you, your rebuild – the Jazz are helping you rebuild. You're rebuilding the mental blocks there. Hey, we are a pretty good team. the last thing you want is Houston feeling good about themselves going forward. Russell Westbrook, the guy is stinking it up right now for the Lakers. It's the only thing keeping me above water. Other people's failures are the only thing that are keeping me happy right now. Okay? That's a bad place to be in life. Let's take a break. When we come back, we've got an interesting discussion to have because Jackson Dart took a visit down to BYU. Jeff Hansen, 24/7, going to join us and give us his thoughts on recruiting. He is a recruiting guru when it comes to BYU. We're going to get his thoughts on what that visit actually means, if that actually means that he is in the mix, or is it just nice window dressing? He's being nice and visiting a team that he gave some respect to before. Is Jackson Dart truly an option? Or is BYU really an option for Jackson Dart? We'll come back. We'll talk about that. Much more to go right here. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.